Apoptosis going mad, my liver's gonna fail. Maybe it's from the radium I use to paint my nails. Well, say you hate me, carbon date me, throw me in the sea. I'll be back with time because I'm made of stardust and chemistry. Of stardust and chemistry.
Hello, and welcome to Cowboy Chemistry, a podcast where we tell you stories of chemistry, science, and life. I am your host, Dylan Tharpe Rally. My pronouns are they, them, and today we are talking about Adolfo Kaminsky. I will be telling this story narratively today, as I do not have a guest with me, as usually we have a comedian on here. There's been a lot of life changes going on my end, so I don't have the same connections to comedians. But hopefully we can get back to recording with them. It's always a lot of fun. But today, I just hope you enjoy this story as we cover the life of this notorious World War II forger. So we'll just jump right on into it. Kaminsky was born in Argentina to a Jewish-Russian family. His mother's name was Anna, and his father's name was Solomon Kaminsky. In 1932, when Kaminsky was 7 years old, he moved with his family to Paris, where his father worked as a tailor. From Paris, the family moved in 1938 to Vire to live with his uncle. His uncle, I don't believe, had any children, and he really wanted to be close with his nieces and nephews. As a young man, Adolfo worked in a dye shop and at a dry cleaner. He had a lot of odd jobs, and he became fascinated with colorants and the chemistry of colorants. He was particularly interested in so-called indelible inks. So indelible inks were inks that you supposedly could never be erased or altered, kind of like counterfeit proofing for official documents or money. You didn't want your ink to be easily remade by just anyone. So they were called indelible inks. And of course, he learned how to erase them. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but that is where this story is going. He bought a treatise by Marcelin Berthelot. He's a French chemist that lived from 1827 to 1907. He found this book at a flea market, and that's what he bought, was this book on chemistry. Now, this book that Kaminsky bought was by Marcelin Berthelot. Berthelot was famous for disproving vitalism. Vitalism was a generally believed hypothesis in the 1800s that although some instances of the synthetic production of organic compounds had been observed, so basically, people made these organic compounds, it was generally believed that organic chemistry as a whole was always going to be an analytical science, because you can't construct these organic molecules. It required living biological activity in some shape or form to make most organic substances. Berthelot engaged in a long argument with Louis Pasteur about vitalism. Pasteur was pro-vitalism. Berthelot was anti-vitalism. And Pasteur, looks at alcohol fermentation, which we have a whole episode about beer if you want to learn a little bit about fermentation. Berthelot made synthetically organic compounds from inorganic starting material, and this was the official disproving of vitalism. And likely that's what this book was about that Kaminsky bought at a flea market. A little light reading for a young teenager. Okay, back to Kaminsky. He was fascinated by chemistry of the dye shops, and he bought this treatise, and he continued by creating his own chemistry laboratory in his uncle's house. Very safe. and worked in a butter factory as an assistant to a chemist who taught Kaminsky a lot of the basics of chemistry. Kaminsky has said that if he had not become a forger, he would have been a chemist. Now, this is where his life become upended by world events. It's now 1940, and the Germans have invaded France. The family home in Vire was taken by the Germans, and the Kaminskys had to temporarily live in another house.
This was a time of great violence, and many people lost their lives including Kaminsky's mother, who was murdered by Nazi occupying forces in France.
Kaminsky's father hid the fact that his mother had died for, it sounded like, a few weeks. He was lying, saying that Kaminsky's mother was actually sick in the hospital, but eventually it just didn't make sense anymore, and other people were asking about her, and it became obvious that she was not going to be coming home. At age 17, Adolfo Kaminsky entered the resistance for the first time. His first assignment was spying on a railway station in Vier, where German rail cars of supplies were being transferred through. So he would monitor where these railroad cars were coming in and out, and he would send messages to London about the trains. However, in 1943, his family was interned in the camp of Drancy. Drancy is a suburb of Paris, and this is a prelude to deportation. Deportation here is kind of a euphemistic term, as people in Drancy were being deported to concentration camps. Many of those in Drancy were sent to Auschwitz. Now, Kaminsky's family were Argentine, and so at the time there was a deal broken between diplomatic relationships between Argentina and Nazi Germany. Argentine citizens would be spared these deportations, so Kaminsky and his family were freed on December 22nd of 1943, and they quickly moved on to Paris. This was a real rare exception. Only 1,000 people of the 64,000 people, mostly Jewish people, that went through Drancy were ever released. Of the 64,000 people transported to Auschwitz, only approximately 2,000 survived. It took 3 months for Kaminsky's family to be released, and every week they saw 1,000 people deported, knowing that they would never see them again. After their release from Drancy, Adolfo's father decided the best thing would be for the family to split up, receive new identity papers, and try to stay safe. Adolfo was sent to meet a member of the resistance group to obtain these forged documents. He talked with the man from the resistance group and told him of his knowledge in erasing inks. This group, made up of Jewish people from the General Jewish Union, they were having problems removing Waterman blue ink stains from paper. Adolfo suggested they use lactic acid and thereafter joined the group, finally becoming responsible for the chemistry forgery lab. They notably had to respond to the challenge of the invention of the watermark. The watermark was relatively new and very difficult to erase, but with Kaminsky's knowledge, as he had all these random odd jobs as a young man, he had the knowledge of lactic acid to erase the ink. Kaminsky quickly learned photography as well under a false pretense and set up the new lab in order to create the real false documents. The Kaminsky lab became the main producer of false IDs for northern France. Although ties with other clandestine groups were discontinued, each group were working as a cell throughout France so that when one cell would be discovered, then the other cells would be safe and they'd still have ways to make these forged documents for smuggling people out of the country or into the countryside more realistically. Now 18, Kaminsky joined the underground resistance to the Nazis in Paris. Their goal was simple, save as many lives as possible. They focused on children primarily. Kaminsky and his small team of forgers would take existing documents and use them as models to create new fakes. They made their own paper, recreated official stamps, and most importantly, copied the inks of official French documents to create perfect replicas of birth certificates, baptismal records, marriage records, and passports. Then run these new documents through a machine to make them look old, because if they look too new, that'd be suspicious. They would also erase and rewrite people's documents, using lactic acid to erase the watermarks. These gave them added protection because it was a real document. They would erase the marks labeling them Jewish and give them new names that sounded more French and would smuggle children to the countryside for safety. Some people hid in plain sight with these new documents, many people getting jobs in little shops and just keeping themselves safe until they can move to safer areas like Switzerland. The lab was a small attic space in an apartment building in France. staffed generally only by 3 people working all hours they could manage. The apartment smelled of chemicals, so they pretended to be artists, painters, and photographers as a cover for the smell. Kaminsky used to say, "Stay awake as long as possible. Struggle against sleep. The calculation is easy. In 1 hour, I make 30 false papers. If I fall asleep 1 hour, 30 people will die." Over the course of the war, Kaminsky created documents that saved the lives of 14,000 Jews. After the liberation of Paris in August 1944, Kaminsky joined the French army and marched to Germany, and was engaged by the French military secret service, who entrusted him with making false IDs for spies sent behind enemy lines to investigate and detect the location of concentration camps before their dismantlement by the Nazis. Adolfo Kaminsky was awarded multiple awards for his acts during the resistance. Kaminsky, into his older age, often hid these medals under his bed, not displaying them. His daughter said he feels a lot of guilt for the people that he could not save during this time. After the German surrender and the end of World War II in Europe, there were over 1 million displaced people living in displaced persons camps around Europe. Many, but not all, of these displaced people were Jewish, and they faced a dilemma in that returning home was not possible, as many of their homes had been given to someone else after their deportation. Adolfo saw some of these camps and was moved by the continuing suffering of the people there. Most countries had immigration quotas on Jewish immigration, including Palestine, which at the time was under British control. Because of the growing Zionist movement in Europe, Palestine was seen as a place for Jewish people to go. Kaminsky himself helped forge documents for Jews attempting to immigrate to the British Mandate of Palestine. And at the time, he was being told by his friends in Palestine, that there was a peace between the Palestinians and the new Jewish arrivals. Kaminsky was under the understanding that they would work together to overthrow the British rule, as Kaminsky was above anything else against colonization. Kaminsky believed in the free movement of people, and he continued forging papers for illegal immigration into Palestine from 1946 to 1948 in defiance of the British immigration restrictions. He also assisted operatives from the anti-British militant groups Irgun and Lehi as they waged a violent campaign against the British. After the foundation of Israel, he stopped doing this work, refusing to support a religious state that endorsed the secular religious status quo and that included an important state role for the chief rabbinate of Israel. Kaminsky was an atheist. From there, he resigned from the military at the beginning of the First Indochina War, unwilling to collaborate in a colonial war. He continued to forge papers for various groups, working first with the National Liberation Front of Algeria, the FLN, and French draft dodgers by setting up new clandestine labs in Paris. In 1962, he produced a cubic meter of 100 franc notes, estimated value of 100 million francs, to help the FLN fight by destabilizing the French currency and thus the economy. When the ceasefire was declared in March of 1962, the notes were burned in a huge bonfire. He never really used them. Kaminsky later said, "It never entered our heads to keep the notes. Money always leads to problems." Starting in 1963, he assisted various leftist movements from Latin America, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, the Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Haiti, Mexico, Nicaragua, Peru, Uruguay, Venezuela. In Africa, he assisted Angola, Guinea-Bissau, South Africa, and from Portugal, then under Salazar's dictatorship. He trained many people in forgery in order to support them in their respective struggles. He always worked for free, to be able to refuse a job if he did not support the ideas, and to maintain his independence. The only exception was during World War II, when the lab took up all of his expenses in order for him to dedicate himself full-time to the job. Kaminsky supported the Greek struggling against the regime of the colonels and made false ID papers for American draft dodgers during the Vietnam War. In 1968, he made a false ID for Daniel Cohen Bennett to allow him to speak at a meeting.
He would later say it was certainly the least useful forgery, but it was a way of showing that there is nothing more porous than borders and that ideas transcend them. Kaminsky made his last false ID in 1971. He gave up his forgery career after he was asked to forge South African passports for anti-apartheid guerrillas in South Africa. Not that he was against anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, but three different people in two different countries showed him the same South African passport as a model for creating counterfeits. Kaminsky knew that someone was compromised and that his cover had been blown. He told himself he'd take a year off and live in Algeria, but he ended up never going back to that life. He never found out who was trying to incriminate him, though speculation was that the secret police of the apartheid regime were behind it. Kaminsky ended up living in Algiers for 10 years. He married a woman there, Layla, who is now Layla Kaminsky, and they had five children together, including a hip-hop singer, Roche. I'm not familiar with Roche. Now I will have to look her up. Layla was the daughter of a liberal imam, and she was a law student. Adolfo said that he felt like he had been given a second life after his life of a forger. He had been married many times before that, but could never be honest with his wives because of his illegal activities and just general other issues of marriage. And one of his daughters, Sarah Kaminsky, is the one who wrote the biography about his life that this podcast is based on. If you want to hear this story from Adolfo's own perspective, it's a wonderful book and it's written in first person. In 1982, Kaminsky's wife noticed signs of religious extremism coming up in Algiers. And to protect his children, who were mixed race and mixed faith, they decided to move back to France with a temporary residence permit. All of his family was naturalized as French citizens in 1992, and he lived out the rest of his years in France with his family. Kaminsky died last year on January 9th of 2023 at the age of 97. And that's all I have on Adolfo Kaminsky and his remarkable life. Thank you again for listening to Cowboy Chemistry. We hope that you will come back for the rest of this season as we talk about all kinds of chemistry-related subjects. But before I let you go, I also wanted to promote the Palestinian Children's Relief Fund. In any crisis, children are the most vulnerable population, and I hope you will consider donating to the Palestinian Children's Relief Fund to help those suffering right now. Thank you again for listening, and I hope to catch you next time.